D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick coming at you here on 102.5 The Game, presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. D-Maze is out in Hermitage for the NFL Alumni Golf Tournament. Adam Vingan is off this week. He will be back with us on Monday. We are joined by Elliot Friedman, who is at the Stanley Cup Final. Big game four tonight, Oilers and Panthers, as the Oilers try to make the series even at two. Elliot is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. So, Elliot, you've made the transition from Edmonton to Florida. I'm sure that's a lot of fun for you to be down there, and plenty going on, not only for the series but around the league. But let's start with the Oilers and their health, because they're already down 2-1. They got beat pretty badly in game three, and they are banged up.
They sure are. They do have some injury troubles, especially with Zach Hyman out, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is clearly not himself here. He's not taking face-offs. He doesn't seem to be handling the puck that well. So there seems to be some sort of hand or wrist thing that he's dealing with here, although it looks like he's going to play tonight. But, I mean, look, like the bottom line, they lost their cool the other night. They took undisciplined penalties, a couple in the offense, three in the offensive zone, and a too many men penalty. You have to be disciplined in the way you move the puck against the Panthers, and they didn't, and they got beat, and they got embarrassed. But they tend to respond well to bad games. We'll see. This is a different animal.
Dave Macy with us?
Oh, yeah. No, I thought you had another one there. I thought you had another one, Willie. This is the problem you run into when, you know, the team is split up, unfortunately,
yeah.
Today. So you kind of run into that. But, no, we have Elliot on with us, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, Elliot, I had this question. We were talking about this the last couple of days in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed is that, you know, the Panthers are playing a very physical brand of hockey, and it's not like Edmonton can't play it, but I don't think they are capable of sustaining it as long as the Panthers are. And it seems like, you know, those old saying that coaches say, take them into deep waters and then see if he could truly swim. Well, it seems like that's what the Panthers are doing to Edmonton. They're taking them in deep waters with their physicality, and it seems like Edmonton can't hold up.
You know, I like that saying, by the way, Derek. I'm definitely going to steal that.
Okay.
And it's no different than what the Panthers have done to everybody else they've played, whether it's been this year, the Lightning, the Maple Leafs, and the Hurricanes, or in previous years, teams like Boston and New York. They're a nasty team. They're a team tough. They I've compared them, Derek, to like the 80s Pistons, the Bad Boys. They're like, we're going to physically punish you, and there's no way everything is going to get called. So what are you going to do about it? And they've made that their identity, and that's who they are. And you're right. There's nobody else to this point that can do that to them. Now, I think the Oilers can't be dragged into the alley with them. They have to be physical at points, but they have to do it to their identity. I think one of the biggest problems that's happened to Edmonton now, Derek, is that, for example, in game three, they had three power plays in the first period and they didn't score. And then when they did score on one early in the second period, they immediately gave it back 80 seconds later. You have to score on the power play against the Panthers. You have to. And when you get momentum, you have to find ways to sustain it. And if you don't get, like, the one game they won in overtime in game one, they scored the winning goal on the power play in overtime. They made Florida pay. Now Florida's killing penalties. You have to make them pay for what penalties they do take.
Now, do you think it will be a quick hook with Skinner in this one? But
yes,
hasn't played the greatest either, and they end up, you know, I believe they pulled him after the last game. Do you think it's a short hook if things start to come off the rails?
Yes, yes, I do. I do absolutely believe it. I think it's the right move to go back with them tonight. One thing that Chris Knobloch, the coach of the Oilers, pointed out is that Skinner historically gets better the deeper they go into series, that his best games in series tend to be late. So I think they definitely looked at the statistical evidence. Secondly, Derek, he has one of these weird stat lines. I don't really know if they mean anything, but it does exist. His record in game four of a playoff series is incredible. It's like 6-0 with unreal save percentages. Like, to me, that just seems like very random, but it's there. So they looked at his numbers historically, and he's played really well in the last few weeks. Like, he finally had a stinker of a game, and I agreed with pulling him. I think he deserves to start. But, Derek, if it goes as badly as the start of game three did, I do think the hook will be quick.
Now, do you believe we will? Because somehow they've been able – listen, when you have a team with Draisaitl and McDavid on it, you know that at any minute these two guys can explode. How have they been able to contain those two guys, more in particular McDavid?
I just think that what they do is – you know what? What they do is they just throw up a web around them. In the NHL, the coaches call it layers. You have layers set up around the guy to make it difficult. And I like to call it a web or a blanket or whatever you want to call it. But that's what they do. Like, the one thing about the floor, about the Panthers, Derek, is no matter what happens, they always play the same way. Like, sometimes they break down and they have bad nights like everybody does. But they're like, you know, for example, the best defense you ever played with, Derek, as a team, or the best defense you ever played against, they always played the same way every time. They had their system, and everybody stuck to their roles. That's what this team is like. Like, I've seen too many big games where Florida comes out, and they say, okay, everybody's sticking to their system, and everybody's going to do what they're supposed to do. And they do it as disciplined as anybody in the league, and that's what they did the other night. They're gonna make McDavid work. Now, McDavid tends to have, when he has his rare bad games, he tends to come back very hard. The guy honestly thought Derek, who was not very good at all in game three, was the Nashville killer, Draisaitl. Like, he always tears you guys apart. I thought game three was one of the quietest, least effective games I've ever seen him to play. That's the guy I think who's going to come out tonight very different.
Elliot Friedman is with us, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Game four is tonight. Elliot, around the league, a pretty big trade in the last, yep, I don't know, 12, 24 hours, with Chris Kreider joining Jacob Trouba out in Anaheim. And that intrigues me because out west, Anaheim has been rebuilding for a long time. They are a headliner of, if you want to rebuild, that's fine, but it's going to take a while. But do you think these kind of trades signal that they are on the verge of making a climb?
I think what it tells you is that they are expected to make a climb, Willie. That I think Pat Verbeek knows he's got to get into the playoffs this year. And, you know, like, I think Kreider's got a lot to give still. I think this year was a nightmare year for him. That whole season in New York was unsettled. I just think that Kreider, he's not a great 5-on-5 player anymore because he's just not as quick, but he's really good on the power play. And, you know, a couple people, I didn't see a lot of it, but his penalty kill work to me too. But what it says to me is that Anaheim is expected to make the playoffs next year. And I heard that Joel Quenneville played a huge role in convincing Kreider to go there and that he could help him. I'll say this, I'm really curious to see what the Rangers are going to do, because all of a sudden, like, I don't think they're done. And I think their cap space is going to be used. And I think, and I'll say this also, the words offer sheet are being thrown around by the Rangers. and they're not exactly hiding from it. So I think it could be a really fascinating offseason for them.
The draft combine was held over the weekend in Buffalo, and as you pointed out, this is the draft format's a little bit different this year. Not everybody is, I mean, they're not going to be gathered all together like they have in the past, at least this year. But what, any tidbits that you gathered from what happened in Buffalo over the last few days? I know it's secondarily something you're covering here because your priority is with the finals here, but any tidbits that a Nashville fan would be interested in?
I think it's going to be a fascinating draft because I think Schaefer is the number one guy, the defenseman from Erie. And then I think it's going to be wild to see how it unfolds from there. So one of our draft gurus, Sam Cosentino, he has a top. He thinks the draft kind of drops after 12. So it's a great, it's great for where you guys are. Another one of our draft guys, Jason Bukala, I think he has a drop off after 6, which is still good for where you guys are. I was talking to a couple of managers and they think it drops off around 8, which is still good for what you guys are. And I think that depending on how, like what San Jose decides to do at 2 or whoever picks 2, it's going to be fascinating. I think a lot of teams grade a lot of those players slightly differently. I would bet that you guys are picking 5, right?
Correct.
So I would bet that if you took all 32 teams and you said, okay, who's number 5 on your draft order, you get a lot of different answers. A lot of different answers. So what I think that you guys have to be prepared for is, A, deciding who you really like. Like at 5, who's our guy? And then, depending on how things actually do unfold in front of you in a couple of weeks, being ready to move in any particular direction. Like, I do think you're going to see teams, Nashville's going to, that draft's going to unfold. I think Schaefer goes 1, and then we kind of see what happens from there. I think Nashville's phone is going to start to ring, and there's going to be teams saying, hey, someone here is dropping, or someone here we really like. What's it going to do? What are you willing to do here in the moment to move? And then you're going to have to make a choice. 1, do you want to move? 2, is there a guy you really want who, if you move down a spot or two, you think you're going to get? Or do you get offered something that's going to make you say, okay, we'll really go back? Now, it's very rare for teams in that spot to move back. The young players are too good, and you get good contract control on them. But I guarantee you, you're going to get calls from teams maybe a couple spots behind you saying, hey, if there's someone we really like here, how do you feel like moving down a couple spots? And that's what you're going to have to be prepared for.
You've mentioned a few times, and I think a lot of people, you just talked about, you know, the drop-off in the first round. But from a lot of people I've read and talked to, the bottom of the first round, where Nashville has 2 other first-round picks, if you wanted to go in aggressive and dangle one, both, or package one with another, they have a ton of picks, as we know. And try to get somebody established. You've mentioned a team like Buffalo that's looking to shake it up. With the stock of that low part of the first round a little down, do you think that might be tougher to do this year as opposed to maybe some other years where the draft is deeper?
Yes, I do think it will be a little bit tougher. I definitely think it'll be harder this year. Not impossible. And it also depends on how much higher you want to move up, right? Like, the other thing, Willie, is there's a lot of people who've done a lot of really good draft research over the years. Like, how valuable are these picks? And, like, in the NHL draft, 1 pick is super valuable. 2 pick is really valuable. And then it drops. Like, there's a significant drop from having pick 2 to having pick 3. And a lot of these teams now, at least the smart ones, a lot of these smart teams now, Willie, they have done scientific work into what these draft picks percentage-wise are worth. So, like, if you want to move up from, say, I don't know, 5 to somewhere higher, or you want to trade picks for a player, I would say this year those picks for Nashville are probably more valuable to Nashville than someone who's trading for them. But the one thing that happens is it's not so much for an established player, it's during the draft. Because if Nashville wants to move up, I don't know, 2 or 3 spots, like does some player really drop and Nashville sits there later in the first round? Holy cow, we like this guy. That's where those two picks are going to become even more valuable. Because if you're needing to move up 3 or 4 spots or a few spots to get someone who you really like on your draft board, who might actually be close, that's where it can help you. Like, I'll give you guys an example. Like, there's one kid, and he's basically, his name is Mason West, okay? He is a high school football quarterback. But to go to the next level, a lot of the schools apparently that are the top schools, they want him to play a different position. And he is a really good hockey player too. He's from Minnesota. And one of the things that was coming out was people were telling me they're really trying to figure out where this guy should go. And he's really raw, but he's physically talented, and he's a good player. That's the guy, depending on where everybody feels. Like, someone told me that there's going to be teams that sort of have this guy, okay, where do we want to take him? And if we're interested in him, where do we know we won't be able to get him? And they said, that's a guy that's a true wild card of the draft, because there's not a lot of evidence there, but you could see him becoming a very effective NHL player. And he seems to be getting more serious about hockey because playing quarterback might not be in his future. That's a guy, wow, if the Predators like Willie, I could see some moving around.
Okay, two-sport guy, near and dear to my heart, for sure. And that is, philosophically, Barry Trotz has talked about guys who have a high ceiling. He feels like the organization in his past has been a little more conservative with their picks, and he wants to, as he calls it, take swings. So that sounds like a guy that you would be taking a swing on, but you could be rewarded if he blossoms, for sure. So, Elliot, leave us with this. You mentioned offer sheets, right? And the picture's still not clear because guys could be signed between now and the time you actually could give an offer sheet. But are there one or two guys that you've got your eye on that could be prime targets to have somebody fire an offer sheet out there?
Well, I mean, the big names are the guys like Matthew Nyes in Toronto, J.J. Paterka in Buffalo, Mason McTavish in Anaheim if they're not signed by then. But there's also a bunch of guys, like I mentioned this week, Jack McBain in Utah. He's not like a top guy, but I think what last year, the two guys who did really well in St. Louis, Holloway and Broberg from Edmonton, they weren't top line guys. They were young guys who hadn't hit their ceilings yet, but they're really talented players. They were mid-level guys. So Jack McBain is a big center. He's never going to be a huge scorer, but he's the kind of player you win with. He's in that area. Joel Hofer, who's the backup to Jordan Binnington in St. Louis, he's another guy there. Like, I think people are also looking at those guys, not just the studs, but the guys who kind of fill in the middle of your roster.
Elliot, great stuff. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you again here very soon, and let's hope this thing continues to have the drama that it's had.
I hope so. I like long series.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. It's nice. You won't turn down another trip to Florida if it happens.
No, I definitely won't. I definitely won't turn that down.
All right, Elliot Friedman, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot and I are about the same age. We're both a little bit older than Derek. We're always getting older each day. Elliot Friedman, the very, very best. When we come back, we'll continue. And there's some news passed along by our colleague, and D-Mace Adams at it again. He's on vacation. He's at the beach, and he's sending us articles. But actually, this is going to be something we use. Joe Rexroad, our buddy, our colleague, has written about Zakai Ziegler. There is some news on his quest to get a fifth year, presumably, at the University of Tennessee, but a fifth year of eligibility to play college hoops. We'll tell you how that's gone down in a moment here on DVD 102.5 The Game.